You're listening to SBS News.
Refugee advocates say a report by Commonwealth Ombudsman Michael Manthorpe about life inside Australia's onshore immigration detention centres raises important issues which warrant immediate attention. Since 2011, the Office of the Commonwealth Ombudsman has inspected immigration detention centres and provides a summary of its findings in its annual report. But this year, the Ombudsman has decided to release a report publicly. He says it's in keeping with Australia's responsibilities under a United Nations instrument known as the Optional Protocol to the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman and Degrading Treatment or Punishment. Australia ratified the protocol in 2017 and the Ombudsman has implementation responsibilities. After carrying out a series of inspections between January and June last year, the Ombudsman came to the conclusion that detainee accommodation is appropriate, except at the Blaxland High Security Compound at Villawood.
The centre is unsuitable for continued use because of overcrowding and ongoing issues with vermin, poor plumbing, structural defects and limited privacy, ventilation and access to outdoor recreation space.
In response, the Department of Home Affairs says decommissioning of Blaxland will begin this year. But Ian Rintoul from the Refugee Action Coalition is sceptical.
The government's been saying they're going to demolish that for a long time, many years. They've actually even been budgeted in many years for the demolition of the high security place at Blaxland. It's not forthcoming. So I take any indication that they're proceeding with a grain of salt.
The Ombudsman highlights the use of restraints in the immigration detention network, where 11 different types can be used. Among several recommendations, he calls for better record keeping to ensure restraints are used appropriately.
While there has been some improvement in recording the type of mechanical restraint used, the use of terms such as mechanical restraints or MR are still being used in use of force and incident reports. This does not allow adequate oversight of the type of restraint applied.
Ian Rintoul from the Refugee Action Coalition says restraints such as handcuffs are used routinely, even when a detainee might not pose a security risk.
They are handcuffed, and while again it's couched in very mild terms, there should be greater scrutiny and more consideration and assessments of the circumstances in which mechanical restraints can be used. The fact is that it is routine.
The Ombudsman is concerned about the facilities provided at what's called alternative places of detention. In operations at hotels in Brisbane and Melbourne, the Ombudsman says, there are a number of shortfalls.
In daily access to outdoor recreation activities, dining areas are also being used as multi-purpose rooms and medical and mental health clinics that do not support the detainees' right to private consultations.
Mr. Rintoul says in many ways the alternative places of detention are worse than the actual detention centres.
They're overcrowded. There are no places for exercise. They can't get outside. There's no places for activities. The food. There's no oversight on the food. That's available. Whether the quality of the food or access to fresh, fruit. For example, as I said, there's no circumstances of visiting at these places. That's something else which isn't addressed in the report, but it are as bad and in some cases worse than it is even in the detention centres.
Jesuit Social Services says it's concerned immigration detention facilities have opaque rules governing visitors, which are applied arbitrarily and inconsistently. Based on reports from people who visit detainees in Melbourne, Sydney and Western Australia, Andrew Yule says some of the restrictions are onerous.
People being forced to unwrap every chocolate in a box that they had taken into the centre to prove that there was nothing untoward being brought in. On other occasions, someone in immigration detention who had requested a book to help them learn English language skills, which obviously would work towards supporting them in the community when they're released. That book was at first allowed and then disallowed sometime later. And we're told these stories from people who are going in and visiting people in immigration detention. And, it adds to people's frustration. It adds to their uncertainty. And when they've already got uncertainty around the time that they're being kept in detention, it has a really significant impact on their mental health.
The Ombudsman's concerned that some people are being held in immigration detention for lengthy periods with no probability of being released in the foreseeable future. Mr. Yule says people are spending far too long in immigration detention.
We need to have a very clear and legislated timeframe and a transparent process so that people can understand where they're at in that process and can also feel confident of when they're going to be released into the community so they can have some hope. At the moment, we've got people who, on average, are staying up to almost 500 days in detention, and in the past we've had people in onshore detention for up to 10 years, and that doesn't give anyone an ability to move on with their lives and to contribute in a positive way to the broader Australian community.
The Ombudsman's report comes with an appendix where the Department of Home Affairs has provided its response to recommendations made. Overall, the department says it agrees with the majority of recommendations and has accepted all of them in full or in part. Nikki Canning, SBS News.